that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive help supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, well, welcome back. I still can't say it right. I said it like 25 billion times now, and I still can't say it right. Welcome back to Sarcastic Remarks, along with Chris Chambers and Spencer Tutt. I'm Ryan Chambers. Spencer is our special guest on the podcast tonight. He's an old buddy of mine, and he's a really good friend. So, Spencer, say hi.
Hello, everyone.
And then, Chris, no one likes you.
Yeah, I know.
All right, guys. These games just keep getting more and more exciting. Game 4 was a good game until the refs blew it and screwed us over on it. And they kept their whistles in their pockets tonight. And guess what happened? A magical thing happened. We won.
Stars win. The Stars are still the better team all series. If you take away all power plays, the Stars are the best, are the better team in every single game. And so hopefully whatever happened tonight, I imagine they were told to chill it with the penalties because it was obviously called differently. So hopefully it keeps going like that, and Stars have a little bit of hope. That would be nice.
Yeah, both teams, several things that I know Ryan and I were like, they should have called something on that, but
immediately
quiet.
Tampa definitely took advantage of the lack of calls in overtime.
Yeah. All right, so overall reaction to this game, I hated the first overtime period, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
We were hanging on for dear life. And you know what? I'm going to go back to that goaltenders are one of the most important things when it comes to any major sport. So last game, Vasilevskiy had that huge save when we were down, or when we were up 3-2, and it allowed Tampa Bay to come back and win the game 5-4 in overtime. Tonight, Dobby had three ginormous saves. There's one toe pick. I'll steal your words, Chris. And then we had two more giant blocker saves. That there was one instance where I thought it hit the post in the first overtime, and no, it didn't hit the post. Dobbik just got full blast of it and laid it into the corner.
Pull squats if you missed that.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about something that wasn't a factor in today's game as much, and that was special teams.
Yeah, because the refs didn't want to be in trouble again tonight, so they swallowed the whistle on everything. There's no chance a penalty was getting called in either of those other times unless someone's head was chopped off, it seemed like. It was nuts.
So do you think they should have called those? Should have called those penalties in the first overtime?
Oh, no, I'm way happier that they didn't. So, like, if you ask me for my opinion, I would much rather them call it the way they did tonight. But they were definitely penalties compared to the other games.
Right. Like, so here's the thing I was seeing it on Twitter is that there was a bunch of people who were all upset about the fact that the Stars were not getting those penalties in the first overtime. And it was just like, well, we can't have it both ways. We can't sit there and complain that they're calling too many and then complain when they're not calling enough. And it's just like, and I put that in on Twitter. It was just like, I mean, we can't complain about the refs tonight. We told them to swallow their whistles. They listened to our podcast that I still haven't posted, and they actually listened. And it was
and we won.
And it was it was a more fun game. That was an exciting game, and it was absolutely epic.
It was a Stanley Cup playoff game. It was called like a Stanley Cup playoff game, and it looked like a Stanley Cup playoff game. The first four games did not. They looked like regular season games the way they were officiated. And this one seemed different, and it seemed more high energy, and it seemed grittier, and it was much more fun to watch.
Very physical game.
I totally forgot that it was in the bubble. Watching that game, I totally forgot it was in the bubble. The way that game was played, you're exactly right, Chris. It felt like a Stanley Cup playoff game. And so did game four. Game four was great. Until the ref screwed it up.
Until overtime, yeah.
Yep, until the ref screwed it up. Thank you, refs, for not screwing it up tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but how many shots on goal did we really get in the first overtime? Like one, maybe two? I don't
I think it was officially two, but that was not. No. First overtime was very bad. The only reason we were in it was because of Dobby and some luck. Exactly.
20 minutes of play, and I don't know how many the Lightning got, but ridiculous.
Yeah, we were in our defensive zone for at least 15 of those 20. It was not good.
Yeah, that was absolutely insane, that whole first overtime. I'm just sitting there literally on the edge of my seat, just like begging the hockey gods, please, literally praying in my head, like, please don't do this.
I'm pretty sure I saw a tear in your eye. I don't know, there was a tear.
Yes, yes, I was. I think it was so hard not to scream because we got like four kids here at this house right now. They're sleeping, and it took every ounce of my being not to scream out Perry. Every ounce of my being not to say that, and I didn't, and I was very proud of myself. So speaking of Corey Perry, who does the credit really go to, Corey Perry or Jim Nill?
Corey Perry, let's give another 1.5 mil.
Right.
He made it worth it tonight alone, honestly.
Right.
Yup. Give him the Art Ross. Give him all the bonus.
And we need to start signing a petition to re-sign him.
Definitely.
I think after the past two games. Yeah. The past two games, three goals in two games after he had been silent the previous 19.
Yeah. I don't know about re-sign him, but he's definitely worth the contract we gave him this year at the very least.
Okay, so this puts up an interesting point about all the slack that Jim Nill was getting, you know, for all the contracts that he signed, which included, you know, Anders Ekström, he signed for about $1 million, $1.5 million. He signed Pavelski to that huge $7 million deal, which a lot of people were like, he's already 35. Why are you signing him for $7 million a year? And then Corey Perry. Yeah. And see, that's the thing is that, you know, those guys are showing up. If it wasn't for the Anders Ekström pass in the Colorado Avalanche series to Kiviranta, we wouldn't be where we are. If it wasn't for the 12 goals that Pavelski has, we wouldn't be where we are now. If it wasn't for the three goals in the past two games that Corey Perry has scored, we wouldn't be here now. So, again, mad props to Jim Nill. He did it.
Yeah, all the people calling for Nill's head, especially at the end of the regular season when we were on that losing streak, they look kind of silly now. This team is built great. I mean, obviously, Pavelski and Perry did not play anywhere near the way they're playing now, but this is what they were signed for, right? We know that guys that old aren't going to be able to keep up for an entire regular season, but if they can turn it on in the playoffs, that's all we cared about. And that's what we got, and that's what we've been getting.
Or just a goal when we need a timely goal. That happened. That's happened numerous times with both of those guys. And I don't know what else to say about that.
Great signing. Good job, Jim Nill. Okay, please don't ever fire him.
No complaints there. None at all.
And you know, And, you know, that was one of the things that they were talking about at the beginning of this year. Is Jim Neal on the hot seat?
Yeah.
I think he's fulfilled that question. And
yeah. I can't say that whatever he was saying. I know I was talking about that. I'm like, I don't know about Jim Neal right now, but I eat my own words, definitely.
Yeah. I wasn't saying anything about it, but I'm definitely happy that he's making people eat their words now. So, okay. So before we talk about some frustrating things that I had tonight, because, you know, Spencer and I saw the obvious things, and because we were both talking about it. But before I go on, Chris, do you want to say something about the Klingberg haters out there? Because I saw you posting on Facebook about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, just in general, I don't know why there's such a big fan base of people who hate Klingberg so much and want him to be traded and stuff. He's been outstanding. He has the second most points on our team in the playoffs. He's had amazing assists, timely goals. If you still hate Klingberg after these playoffs, you're just stupid. Like, well, honestly, it's just ignorance.
It's the same as Joe Pavelski. Like, he's made some very good plays, some very good like goals. When we wouldn't be where we are now without him, definitely.
No doubt, absolutely no doubt. And congratulations to him for being the top goal scorer among American-born players. He passed Joe Mullen tonight with that goal in the third period. And let's talk about this, too, because the Stars have done it again. They came back again in this game. And just when I legitimately thought that this was over, when Sergachev scored the goal, I thought, okay, that's it. And then, you know, I put on Twitter, it's just like, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. But in the back of my head, I was just like, this is over. This series is over. This game is over. And you know what? Don't give me hope. I've been saying it like two or three different times. It's just like, don't.
That's the exact way I felt. The refs are calling the games correctly now. We're going to be playing more 5-on-5. We only need 2 games now. It feels so much better. But yeah. Like, I was fully ready for the Stars to lose this. I had mentally prepared myself for it, and now all that's thrown out the window. I'm going to be so sad if they lose on Monday.
Right. And it's... Here we go again. Just when we think that the Stars are done, they somehow seem to pull it off. So, and okay, so let's talk about some of the things that we were seeing just in the game itself specifically. So we mentioned how good Perry looked. Perry was all over the ice tonight.
Yeah, not just lucky goals. No, he was playing great all night long.
I mean, he was very noticeable on the ice. Whenever there was a big scoring chance, he was one of the prime reasons for it. Yeah, I mean, he was all over the ice. And that third line looked excellent tonight. Maybe we just need to make them our second line and give them a little bit more little bit more playing time. So, and I also want to mention that fourth line tonight with Dickinson, Kamano, and Dowling, even though that was a line that was just kind of thrown together just because of the circumstances, they did an absolute excellent job.
Yep, it was very good.
So I don't think they were given much responsibility on the first line for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but they were in the offensive zone, and it seemed like, and I noticed it several times, and I was just like, wow, this is one of the few lines that's actually getting sustained offensive pressure on the forecheck.
Great forecheck pretty much all night long from them. It looked like FCC. So especially a good game by Dowling is what I thought. I'm a Dowling hater, but he played hard and he played physical. So
yeah,
I was really happy with the way he played.
Kamano. I've never been a big fan of his, but he was really aggressive this game. And I mean, put forth some effort, really.
Well, and the thing is that Kamano's had his chances. He's come in the past 2 games and none bigger than that giant save that Andre Vasilevskiy had on him, where we could have gone up 4-2 last game. But he's had his chances, and he had his chances again today as well. So one of the things that was really frustrating for me tonight was, and I'm going to say it again, was our exits out of our own zone. We could not get out of our own zone.
Especially in the first overtime. That's what it was. We couldn't escape.
and yes, that's true. But it wasn't just the first overtime. It just seemed like whenever they had, like, even like a slight bit of pressure, either there was a lucky bounce for them and like they happened to get their stick on it, or a bounce off our skate and stayed in our zone or something like that, or we just didn't work hard enough to get it out of our own zone. So the exits from our own zone is very frustrating. And then the turnovers tonight, again, there were just some dumb turnovers, and it, at least from my end, and I, that I didn't like to see. And I was really curious, and I'm just looking at it now, but the giveaways. And what's funny is that they're actually showing that Tampa had one extra giveaway than the Stars, 24-23. So I don't know how that's possible.
I think
based off
of
what I saw, but
those numbers are definitely because of tired players, right? You never see 23 and 24 giveaways in a hockey game, even in the regular season. So that's some tired legs that don't want to move is where those giveaways are coming from.
And, you know, shots on goal tonight, 41-33 in favor of the Lightning. And, I mean, that's been every game, honestly. Yeah, that's going to happen every game, just like it did against the Vegas Golden Knights. But the thing that I'm really impressed with, and that's we're continuing to play our game, is the block shots. The block shots, it was 33-18 in block shots tonight. So we're still sticking to that defensive game. I just wish I would see a little bit more offense going the opposite way and a little bit better exits out of our own zone. Right. That's all I'm saying.
The first period, just like they gave me hope. I'm like, they were in the Lightning zone majority of the time. And then the second and third period, in the first overtime, went right back to the second, third, and fourth game, where the turnovers were all in the star zone. Just give us some comfort. Get out of there. You know, just move.
Yeah, holding my breath every time they put a puck anywhere near Dobie. It's so stressful.
Right, and you know what? I didn't feel that way in game 1, 2, or 3. Now, game 4, I started to feel it because we were down 2-1 in games. But in game 1, 2, and 3, I didn't feel like that. And especially in the past series, I didn't feel like that either. I felt a little bit like that in the Calgary series, but in the Colorado series, I didn't feel like that. And in the Vegas series, I didn't feel like that. And that was just because we were up the whole time. And now with our backs up against the walls, all that stress is coming out now.
Yep. One game at a time.
One game at a time.
If you look at having to win 3 games in a row, it seems impossible. But if you just have to win the next game, that's not that hard. So let's see if they can make it one more, and then at that point, anything will happen in a game 7. So all you got to think about is just one more win. Yeah. One more win. That's all you got to. That's all you got to focus
home.
On.
It's not time to go home at all.
We're not going home.
I'm really hoping we don't go home. I want to see a game seven.
So very crazy stat line. Everyone's talking about how Tyler Seguin needs to break out in this series. Tyler Seguin has an assist on every single goal tonight. 3 assists.
And then, so if he's not scoring, he's at least doing that. So, I mean, we can't buy this guy a goal.
No, and I think he's accepted it, actually. I think he's gone through the stages. Like, last game was denial, and he's, like, finally reached acceptance, and he's just going to make a bunch of great passes.
If he's not assisting on offense, he's also doing a lot of defensive things as well. And
yeah, when that line was out there, we were never pinned in our own zone. They were always making good passes, forwards coming back to help the D to get out of the zone, and that line always seemed to get us out, so... That Kiviranta Perry Seguin line was great all night long.
Right, I agree. It was a great line tonight for us. So speaking of, you know, players that we hoped would bounce back, I know we kind of hit on it, but we didn't really talk about it much. Was Dobby? Dobby played excellent tonight. He only lets in 2 goals. And the 2 goals he lets in, not his fault at all. Especially the second one, he was completely screened. And then, what was the first one again?
The Palat goal,
I guess, could have been his fault. But, and you know, that's an interesting thing that you could look at. Do you think, there were a lot of people that were saying that Hudobin should have poke-checked that puck instead of letting him go around. What do y'all think?
Yeah, the way Dobby plays, he doesn't use his stick in that way. He doesn't really have an aggressive stick. So after that, you noticed he started thinking about it more. So every chance he had to take a whack at the puck, he did. But the way he normally plays is he normally brings his whole body towards the puck because he's a smaller guy. He doesn't like throwing the stick out there to get a diving poke check because he's not big enough if he misses.
Several of the saves he made tonight, he was literally jumping on top of the puck. I mean, that's...
yep.
It goes as an example to what he normally does. He's not like Chris is saying. He's not good with the stick. I guess not as good really with the stick as he is with his own body.
Yeah, the Andre Palat goal was just beautiful. There's nothing around it. And then the Sergachev goal, there's no chance that he saw that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just a seeing eye shot. Yeah, pretty lucky.
Went through several bodies like. Stars and lightning bodies just to find its way to the net, and hate to see that.
Yeah, no way you can aim a 95-mile-an-hour one-timer that well.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just going to whack the crud out of it and see where it goes.
Sure, you take that to Twitter right now, people are like, no, that was intentional. I mean, he knew he was going to make it through that small...
Pure skill.
Sometimes I wish we had like a Shea Weber or like a... Zdeno Chara and have somebody shoot 108 miles an hour.
Dennis Garionov.
Dennis Garionov. When he finished the series against the Golden Knights, I think it was 110.
Those one-timers.
There's no way you can purposely be able to. I'm gonna put it in the top left corner. Here we go. Whoop, right, 110 miles.
Wasn't
an
that
hour.
Also Gurry the? The last series, he knocked a puck at 70 miles per hour into the goalie's neck.
Yep. He was the same exact person. Yeah. So anyway, Dobby had a great game and he's going to have to be better. He's going to have to be better for the next two games. He's going to have to be our best player. We're all raving about how great Corey Perry did and how good Tyler Seguin is doing, and Heiskanen shows up on the score sheet again tonight, which we've been missing him. But Dobby has been our most consistent and our best player through these playoffs, and he has to be. When the best goaltender in the league, arguably who we think is the best goaltender, goes down and he's not able to play, he's got to step up, and he has. And he kind of laid an egg on some of those goals in Game 4, and he stood tall again tonight, and it's only going
to
get harder.
He's proven that he's a backup to no one. Another lead goaltender, which kind of worried about whenever he goes up for a free agent, what's going to happen there, but we'll see.
Yeah, let's just enjoy the happiness for now.
I think some people have seen him, because I'm pretty sure he was really looked at as a backup until, I mean, game one. The first series,
until
right
now,
moment, yeah, holding people off in the Stanley Cup final.
All right, so what do we need to do in Game 6? Keep doing what we're doing.
Same thing. Someone's got to step up again. That's what we said last podcast. Someone's got to step up. Corey Perry did it. He played great the whole game. So maybe he could do it again. Maybe someone else steps up, but. We're seeing throughout this playoffs that it really only takes one of those top six guys that we have to take control of the game, and they can go win it. And that's what happened tonight. Corey Perry took control of this game and he won it. Great first goal and a grindy, scrappy, very Corey Perry-esque second goal. So someone just got to take control of the game and say, I'm going to win it. And that's how we've won all of our series. That's how we came back in the Calgary series. So
we
just need
to
see that again.
Out of the box. We've proven, obviously, in this game, it's not all us.
Yes.
I mean, the refs also. But we've proven this game and, game one, stay out of the box. We get results. I think we need to see more of that.
Absolutely.
And you can ask Chris this, Spencer, but that's been my thing like all playoffs. Right. Stay out of the box. And especially now that more than ever that Como is out, Fox is out, Hintz is out.
We have no penalty
killers.
We have
nobody that can kill
nobody
penalties.
Nobody left.
They're
all dead.
When Corey Perry does a good job of staying out of the box, he can actually score. And that's what we need to see.
There you go. Yeah,
that sounds just like Radulov.
He did a good job of skating on the Bucks too. And, like to see some better skating out of
yes.
him.
Right. Well, speaking of the penalty kill, so let's talk about that one penalty kill. The one penalty kill we had, I was scared to death. It was a shooting gallery, and it was just shot after shot after shot. Cross, you know, east-west passes, north-south passes, coming up to the slot. And again, Dobie made a huge save right in the slot, dead center, right in front of him. Do you think that Tampa is going to get more than one penalty? More than one penalty, more than one power play in the next game.
I think it's
game.
Pretty likely.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
the refs are going to hopefully not completely mess this up, but I think they're going to amp it up a little bit more in the next game.
And I appreciate the way they called tonight. They made the obvious calls, the super obvious calls, and they weren't overbearing when it seemed like a penalty and it might have been a penalty. They didn't call it. That's playoff hockey. Should have been done like that from the very beginning of this series. So
yeah, if it's maybe a penalty, it's not a penalty.
This, yeah, at least at this point, normally this would be June, but right now it's. I can't believe this.
Yeah,
right. It's almost October.
When it goes to game when it goes to game seven, it will be October.
Right.
Well, there's a hot take. Hot take.
There.
He's calling. Game six to the Stars.
Game six to the Stars. Okay. All right. So let's ask that one question then. Do the Stars win game six?
I say yes.
Chris, we can't hear you.
What's going on there?
Nope.
I said yes.
All right. Chris says yes. Yeah. His mic went out and he's shaking his head up and down a lot. I think we're going to blow out game six. Yeah. I think we're going to blow out game six. I think this is going to be, we're going to go after it and we're going to force a game seven. And I want to see a 5-0 or a 4-0 or a 12 or a 12-2. I'd be okay with that. And I think it's going to happen. I really do. I think it's going to happen. So we'll see what happens.
That'd be sick.
It would be absolutely sick. And you heard it here from me first. So, all right. We're going to leave it at that, guys. All right. Thank y'all for listening to Starcastic Remarks. You can follow us on Twitter at StarcasticR. You can also like us on our Facebook page, Starcastic Remarks. And on also, you can follow us on our YouTube channel. We'll catch y'all on the flip side. Good night.